Okay, ladies, I think we're ready to get started. Everybody have a pen and your notes out? We will, unless there's a problem, we will go through in order. So we'll go through peace, then good, then hospitality, and then love. And I'm sure that some of your groups did it differently. If you have a summary of what you learned, that's fine to read. But also, if you can just briefly go through each verse. You don't have to read the whole verse. We won't have time. So you don't have to read the verses themselves, but you could just say, like, if you read 1 Thessalonians 5:15, you can just say, 1 Thessalonians 5:15, we learned this about seeking the good of others. And just give us a short statement of what you learned from each verse so that your friends in the room can also note those things. Okay? I think, if my math is correct, I believe we get out at 4:30. So as long as each of you take less than 10 minutes, we'll be good. Okay? Let's start with the spokesperson for seeking peace with others. Round of applause for the brave people coming up to use the microphone.
Hi, everyone. I'm going to be talking about seeking peace with others. So I'll just like kind of tell you what we learned when we read through the verses, because it's going to be too long otherwise. So when we went through Psalm 34, verse 14, and 1 Peter 3, verse 11, we kind of learned that we have to turn away from evil and do good to others. So that's, I'm sure all of us know that we've been taught by Jesus that we have to hate what's evil, not get even with another person, because that's an evil thing to do. So instead, we have to bless other people. So if we are the ones seeking peace with others, then, you know, if someone wrongs us, the right thing for us to do would just be to forgive them and pray for them, bless them, and that's about it. Like, you know, don't eye for an eye and all that. So we need to actively seek peace and be kind and forgiving to one another. Jesus, we have to remember that Jesus set an example for us to be humble and forgiving even when he was betrayed, tortured, and killed on the cross. Like, I mean, I don't think any of us have ever gone through anything like that. So we are supposed to imitate Christ. So when it comes to seeking peace, like, no matter what somebody else might do to us, like, if it's an unbeliever, we need to understand that they don't really know, like, what they're doing. Like, they might think that they're right. But as a Christian, it's our responsibility, because we were forgiven by God, to just forgive this person and, like, you know, move on. Like, you know. He came also, like, I'm sorry, I didn't write a few of the verses down, but we, Hebrews, what? Yeah, that's what we learned from Hebrews 12:14. And we also learned that Jesus counted others as more significant than himself. Like, he came to serve. So we need to get rid of our self-righteous attitudes of, like, you know, I'm not going to be the first one to apologize, and these kinds of things. We need to go in with, like, a mindset of being a servant, and we need to be humble. And we need to, like, if it's something, especially between believers, we should probably be the first ones to say, like, you know, I'm sorry, forgive me. Like, so otherwise you're not going to be peaceful. Like, one of you is going to be, like, kind of bitter in your heart, like, holding on to something. We learned from Romans 12:16 to 21, basically. So every action of ours is a way of sharing the gospel. Like, people are going to be watching us, and, like, you know, especially when they know that we're Christians. So when unbelievers, no matter how they are behaving towards us, see us being peaceful with them, like, you know, not holding a grudge, not being bitter, instead we're kind to them, gentle, giving. They might even, it's mentioned in one of the verses, actually, that we've done below, but it's like hot coals on their heads. They are the ones who are going to feel guilty in the end. And you never know, they might eventually come and ask you, like, how can you be like this even though I'm being so mean to you? And you can share the gospel with them. So there's that. And we also need to keep in mind, so we learn from James 3:13-18, like, you know, that we shouldn't respond with hate, bitterness, like, you know, all of these things, jealousy. Instead, we need to be displaying good fruits. And I'm sure we all remember in Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when we are looking to keep peace with others, I think that all of these things, you know, need to be shown by us as Christians. And in Romans 14:13-19, we learn that it's not our place to judge. And, you know, again, we need to be seeking peace with one another. We need to be patient with one another. We need to be kind, forgiving. And from Matthew 5:38-42, Jesus actually talks a lot about this, like, you know, don't repay evil for evil. But, you know, if someone slaps you, turn the other cheek. I'm sure we're not actually going to be, like, allowing them to slap us on the other side. But basically, it's like, just be peaceful. Like, you know, don't start hitting them back. Don't do any of those things. Just let it go. And I think in all of this, sometimes we tend to have an attitude of, well, you know, so what? I'm supposed to just let people walk all over me. But we need to also remember that, you know, we are children of God and He's going to avenge us. Like, that's what He said. So we should do our part as Christians to, you know, lead by example and show other people the love of Christ through our actions, especially this. It's really important, like, you know, never be bitter, never hold grudges, always forgive, because Jesus forgave us. And I'm sure we've hurt Him, or we've grieved Him rather, and done evil things in His sight, but He still loves us. So we should follow His example when it comes to seeking peace with other people. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Concepta. So our topic was seeking the good of others. We've summarized it also, but we've also written what we've learned from each verse that we went through. The first verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:15. The crux of the verse was that not reaping evil, but doing good to others. So good doesn't come naturally to everyone who is the victim of evil. But the verse clearly says that you don't have to repay evil for evil, but rather do good to others. Then 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, put the main part of it was, put others before yourself. Like, doing good to someone also includes putting someone else before, like putting the needs or interests of others before yours. Matthew 7:12, do to others as you would do to yourself, to enable you to obey the law of God. So when you do good to others, as you do to yourself, you are also obeying the law and of the prophets. Like the law and the prophets, the law of God. So you are obeying God when you do good to others. Hebrews 13:6, not neglecting to do good and sacrificially sharing what you have. So we discussed this, and I really like this point that sometimes you have the ability and you have the resources to do good to someone, but you withhold it and you don't do it because you don't think it's necessary. But the verse says not neglecting to do good and sacrificially sharing what you have. So one of our group members said that sacrificially sharing means that you may have one thing. Say, for example, a bun. If you have one bun and if you have to share it, you divide it into half and share it with someone. But you could rather think that, oh, I can have the bun to myself. If I have to share it, that means I will have lesser than what I already have. But doing good to others includes sacrificially sharing. It even involves like giving that entire bun away because you want to do good. Proverbs 3:27, withholding doing good to whom it is due when you have the power to do it. Again, when you have the power to do it, when you have the resources, when you have something that someone else is in need of, but you withhold it, not willing to let go of it, but not thinking of the interests of others again. So the verse speaks of withholding good to whom it is due. Someone deserves that good, but you withhold it because of your sin. Then we added a cross reference of James 4:17. If anyone's writing down verses, James 4:17, it's not there. If anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, for them it is sin. So not doing something that you know you have to do is also sin. Ephesians 4:32. So Ephesians 4:32 describes what goodness is in action. That is kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, just as Christ forgave you. So how in action can you be good? In the summary, I will summarize these points. But yeah, in action, goodness is kind, being kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another as Christ forgave you, which means in full, like not withholding any grudges or anything in your heart. Galatians 6:9-10. Don't be weary of doing good. You will receive the reward at the right time for not giving up. So seize every opportunity to do good, especially to believers. This is not what the verse says. This is a summary. So don't be weary of doing good. So sometimes we might be self-righteous and say that, why should I only always sacrifice and give, or why should I only always seek to do good? Why is nobody else? But the verse says, don't be weary of doing good because you will receive your reward at the right time. You may not see the reward at the same time when you're doing good to someone, but in due time, God will reward you. And so the outcome is, so seize every opportunity to do good, and it's more so even to believers, to your own brothers and sisters. If you see that there is a need, you should be good to them. And last one is Ephesians 4:29. This is about good speech. How do you... what is good speech? Good speech is that edifies and gives grace to the hearer. So, in summary, the first point we've broken up it into, seeking good of others is in speech and action. So speech, as the last verse says, Ephesians 4:29, speech that edifies or builds up one another, and that gives grace to those who hear. So if something that you say doesn't give grace to those who hear, it's not good speech. So if you know you can hear yourself and you're not, it's not giving grace to someone. In fact, somebody's getting irritated. So you're not being good to that person. So one part is speech and one part is action. So in action, it is kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. Forgiving includes not repaying evil, and forgiving so much that Christ, as much as Christ has forgiven you. Then seizing every opportunity to do good, and sacrificial sharing, that is putting others' interests before yours. So this was the first point of speech and action. Then the second point was, the standard of doing good is as you would do for yourself. Like, I think we all want the best for ourselves all the time. Like, we're not, it doesn't come naturally to give the best to someone else and we take something that is not as good as what we are giving away. But doing good means it is sacrificing. You're sacrificing what you love most and giving it to someone, and you are doing good to someone. So that is the standard, like, as you would do to yourself. And the third one is obedience to God. So obedience, when you're doing good, you're obeying God. And likewise, if you're not doing good, you're disobeying God. So when you ought to do good and you don't do it, it is sin, and God hates sin. So negligence of doing good is also sin. So these were the three points: speech and action. The standard of doing good is as you would do to yourself. And the third point was obedience to God.
and negligence or withholding good to others is disobedience and sin.
Good evening. My name is Cheryl and this is my first time on this podium. Okay. So today, about seeking to show hospitality to others, Romans 12:13, the first point is to see to the hospitality of the saints who are in need. So if we see any saints of God, like yesterday only we heard a pretty long one hour discussion on how we need to help saints of God who are working for His kingdom. If we see that they are in need, then we can definitely help them out, whether it is financially or materially, whatever. Then Hebrews 13:1-3, it speaks about being hospitable to strangers and prisoners in prison. So, I don't know whether this can be said that if we should go to prison and, I mean, visit prisons and help them out, maybe Anne can clarify about this. Not later. Yeah. And about strangers, this even we read in Matthew 25 verses 34 to 46, where Jesus speaks about being hospitable to the hungry, naked, sick, thirsty. So strangers, I think, will come in this category. If we see somebody who is hungry, if we see somebody who is sick, we can visit the sick. So another question for Anne. So we have a lot of these. This is my personal question. If you are stuck in India in traffic, you'll typically have people knocking on your car doors, asking for alms. So, is it right to help them out?
Are we going to answer now?
No, you can answer this. Okay, so I've had many times wherein a person is without one arm. And so I feel for such handicapped and as Jesus said, hungry, naked, sick, thirsty. I think scripture is very specific by itself. Okay, so in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verses 9 to 10, to be hospitable to widows and widows who come under the category of being over 60 years of age. So if we have in our church, in our neighborhoods, any widows, women who have lost their husbands, we can surely help them out. Titus chapter 1 verse 6 to 9, it speaks of how a pastor can be hospitable to his congregation. 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 9, we should be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And I think I can say also that we can be hospitable to one another without bringing it up and without boasting about it also. So next is Romans 12:20. It speaks about being hospitable to your enemy. And we've had some additional scripture references to this also. Leviticus chapter 19 verses 33. Speaks about, it's a command from God, how the Israelites were told to be hospitable to the foreigners. So next time there is NEFC, please open your doors to the outsiders who come. Yeah. And Luke chapter 14, 7 to 10, respect, being hospitable by being respectful towards others. And Luke 14, 12 to 14, It speaks about being hospitable to the crippled, the lame, the poor, the blind. Yeah. So all in all, I will not give my, what we discussed. I think the greatest commandment given by Jesus speaks it very well. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Alice. So we are the last group. So I'll just go verse by verse. Proverbs 17:9. So it is about love. Whenever a person commits a sin, we forgive them and hide their offense and give them a chance to reconcile. We forgive and forget. This verse is about do not repeat a matter. So we forgive the person who has offended us, and we don't go around speaking about it. We forgive from our heart. So that is love. And so then there is unity. We don't separate friends. We create unity, and we don't carry tales. When we, the next verse, 1 Peter 4:8, when we have love, we forgive one another. Love is unconditional. Unconditional forgiveness. God is love. There is no rejection. And we hold each other together. Meaning there is, it creates unity. That love binds us together. The next verse, 1 Peter 3:10. Love one another. We have to love each other, every brother or sister in Christ. We had this one reference that we do not love the brother whom we can see. How can we love God whom we cannot see? So this, by this we know we are in Christ when we really love one another. So if we have that real love, we know we are in Christ. If there is some hatredness, some, we are not able to love, it shows there is something wrong with our Christian life. And we should not be deceived in that. We need to love one another. People whom we see, we need to have genuine love for them. And the 1 John 3:16, we should, that is the verse. Yeah, 1 John 3:16. We should reconcile without any prejudices, love in practical ways by giving our time. That is just like Christ loved us, loving one another, loving each other as Christ loved us. So in practical ways, by giving our time, going an extra mile, understanding the other person, sacrificial love with joy, love without hypocrisy. And the fifth verse, 1 John 15:12-13, be overcomers by loving one another. It's a commandment to love, to do things without grumbling and complaining, with joy serve others, understanding their need. So next what we discussed is love means, that is 1 Corinthians 3, from that, love means being patient, kind, bearing each other joyfully, not boastful, being humble, not being rude, caring, hopes against hope, enduring, does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but rejoices in the truth. Next verse, we have to be unselfish in our love and pray for having a burden for perishing souls. That is also a part of loving one another. Pray for unrepentant sinners. And yes, being hospitable without grumbling and complaining. The last verse, Galatians, do not use the freedom in Christ to fulfill our carnal purposes. Walk in the Spirit, then you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Be led by the Spirit and renew your mind with the Word of God. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We can be overcomers when we are led by the Spirit. Our fleshly nature will not overtake us. So for that, if we are saturated with the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, then that life, we will abide in Christ and the life of Christ will genuinely come out and we will be able to walk in love. We can be overcomers. And love is a fruit of the Spirit. So we can be filled with that fruit of the Spirit. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, ladies. You all did a wonderful job. I hope that maybe you found some references to apply in your relationships with others. I think it's interesting that a lot of times if you take all the scripture references on a topic, so many of them have to do with how we treat others in the body of Christ. That's really emphasized in the unity that God wants to see between us. And then there's usually one or two that refer to also treating unbelievers the same way. Because of course we need to treat them that way, but there's a special emphasis on our relationships with those in the body of Christ. So thank you for sparing my voice for this one and teaching one another instead of having to listen to me crackle up here. But I want to say that it has really been a joy to be with you all this week. And I have loved the way you've listened and taken notes and your discussions. I have not joined in on your discussions because that might be a little bit awkward for me to come in with it when I just taught it all. Because then if you want to talk about it, you know, well, this didn't make sense. It's kind of hard to say that when I'm sitting right there. But I have heard really good feedback from the things that you guys have discussed. So I hope this week has been a blessing to you and that the last few sessions will be as well. So thank you for coming and for being involved. And I'll close this in prayer, okay? Dear Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've taught us from your word this week. I pray that you would help us, as James says, not to just be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers. Pray that you would help us to live out the truth of these scriptures in our relationships with others, first with those in the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and then also to the unbelieving world around us. We know that we are tempted to live in the flesh, and so we need your Spirit's help to remind us of what we ought to do and to give us the self-control to do it. Thank you for how you have shown all these qualities to us, Lord. You have been so generous with us. You have made a way for us to have peace with you. You have shown us love and compassion. You have cared for us in every way. And I pray that you would help us to follow your example. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.